Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, here we are. It's the end of November. We all were out for Thanksgiving. Had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And remember, this month of November was the idea of harvesting and bringing in your different things that you were working on. Mm. And we heard great news about our friend Jules. She harvested something.
Oh,
so that's great. She had a closing. So isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. And if you'll also remember, tonight is questions and answers. But I will talk a little bit beforehand, as usual. With this I found, and I think this is wonderful. And see if it applies to some people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
One must never forget, when misfortunes come, that it is quite possible they are saving one from something much worse. Or that when you make some great mistake, it may very easily serve you better than the best advised decision. Life is a whole. Luck is a whole. And no part of them can be separated from the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Winston Churchill. Mm. Isn't that wonderful? So remember that. We complain is something, you know, if we make a mistake, we do that. And if you look back, they do save you from things. You're saying, so something's always working for you. You're always doing, moving from your good to your greater good, even when it looks like that is not occurring, because you are interpreting it as, oh, this is bad luck, or this happened to me, or this was a mistake, or I did this, that, and the other thing. But you have to look at it and remember it's saving you from something even worse that could come. And it's part of this whole thing that we call life. So it's always going to be there. So what you do with it. Okay? Now this one. See if this helps somebody in the room. You will find that in the end, developing your brain is the same as leading a vital, fulfilling lifestyle. So I read that again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You will find that in the end, developing your brain is the same as leading a vital, fulfilling lifestyle. Because you cannot take anything with you. The only thing you're going to take with you when you leave this plane of action is your consciousness and how you have stretched your consciousness. So it all comes from that understanding of what you're thinking about. So develop your brain. Use that and not all this other stuff that people think their goal in life is, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. What you are concerned about is, how are you thinking? How are you developing your brain? For many years, we heard the expression, you can't teach a dog, an old dog, new tricks.
That's, hello?
That must be Jules. Come in!
Hi.
No.
Hello.
Well, look, it's Tony. Tony, here's a chair right there.
Here. How are you? Good. How are you guys?
Good. You came by bus, I bet.
Yes.
Yeah. And you come here from the valley or something.
Yes.
Like that. Isn't that something?
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
And she makes it good for you.
Yeah. And there are Jules just pulled in.
And Jules just pulled in. So we're having tons of new people around. Anyway, we're talking a moment about your brain. And I'll read this since you came in. I'll read it again to you. You will find that in the end, developing your brain is the same as leading a vital, fulfilling lifestyle. Because it's all about your thinking. It's about your consciousness. And for years we heard you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, you know, they have discovered that that is not so. That we can learn up until the very day that we leave this plane of action. That our mind opens up new areas. And every time we think something different, we've opened up a new area in our life. We've challenged our mind. It's a muscle. It has to be used like every other thing.
Yay!
Ka-ching! 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 Ka-ching!
Ka-ching!
For our friends out there on the internet, Jules just came in, and Jules had a big win. She did a closure.
I had a big win, huh?
So.
Yes.
I don't want the wind knocked out of me. Thank God for for like shout outs and calls and bookending, because
well, how about just thank God for God?
Thank God for God.
That's
right.
Thank you for the coffee.
So, you remember that God is the source of your supply.
Yeah, that's right. God is the source of my supply, and so are my lovely colleagues.
Yes, which are all God, aren't they? That's how God works through everybody, to help everybody. So anyway, the idea is we can change our minds. We can grow constantly throughout life. And they've discovered that with the brain. So don't ever think that you're too old to learn anything. And the whole idea we're talking about, Jules, is learning to use your brain, learning to stretch your consciousness and all, because that's the only thing you're ever going to be able to take with you. Can't take all the material stuff that we build up with us. So with that said, we're opening it up tonight. It's the last Thursday of the month, so it's questions and answers. So, you need to have one. Go ahead.
Well, it's a spontaneous one based on what you just said a few minutes ago about the only thing we have to take with us is our consciousness.
Yes.
And I infer from that that includes our memory?
No. Memory has nothing to do with consciousness. No, you can take your memory with you and you can grab your memory, but that has nothing to do with consciousness. And memory is just memory, and memory usually is the thing that gets us all in trouble because our mind wants to go back to the past, and memory isn't done in the past. So you remember, perhaps this happened to you when you were trying to close the deal. What came up was not only wasn't it closing, but you remembered all the other deals that fell through and didn't close. So immediately you got panicky and so forth. Now that's how memory does to you, you see. So why do you want to take that with you? The happy times and so forth. Once we leave this plane of action, you're going to be completely occupied in a whole new and different life. You may never even think of this life again. But these are going to be choices that you're going to have to make for yourself. A memory is a wonderful thing, but it doesn't serve you. You see, it usually doesn't serve you because it's always in the past. And what's in the past does not count, you see. And it gets you into trouble because it immediately starts to tell you how things happened in the past. And you say, yes, I remember that. So if it happened that way in the past, it's going to happen that way now. And you see, that is not, you cannot do that to yourself. If you do that to yourself, you're creating that reality, you see. So you have to know, weeks ago I said, you must remember that we call this thing God, and we call it a living God. And we say that God, with God, all things are possible. And God makes all things new. Why are all things possible with God? Because God stays in the now. God does not go back and say, what did I do yesterday? I'm going to repeat that again today. You see? So, and you can look around and see with God, you can use each and every person as an example of that, and you can use snowflakes and all those. There are no two snowflakes alike. There are no two people alike. God didn't say, well, I made that person. This way I'm going to continue just to make that model. And that's the only model that's ever going to be made, you see? Because I made that yesterday, I'm going to make that again today. So if you stay in the now, you can see all new and different possibilities. But if you don't stay in the now, you go back to memory, you start to remember all the bad things that happened and all the other incidences that seem similar. So then you start to make them similar. You see? And that has nothing to do with it. So memory is a wonderful thing, but don't rely on it. And memory is always faulty, by the way. Memory is always faulty. Because the file drawers in your head get all mixed up. You know, you go to enough party, you can't tell which party it was. And you'll have arguments. Oh, no, they were at that party. No, they weren't. Yes, I remember distinctly they were at that party. No, they were not at that party. But in your file cabinet, they were. They got mixed up with all the other parties.
Well, it's just that there are some moments of great beauty in my memory that...
Yes, we'll keep them.
I just, you know, I lament that they would be lost forever.
Well, people like to sit back and reminisce and go down memory lane. We love to think of all the wonderful things that happened to us. Mm-hmm. But why don't we think about all the wonderful things that are happening to us and look and see those things? That other part is dead. It's gone.
Is that why then it's, I mean, it's just no, really, in reality, we just shouldn't ever go back.
Well,
because whether, even if it's a good memory, it's powerless.
So it's an ego hanging on to the importance of that.
Absolutely. To tell you that you have a life.
That's an adjustment.
See,
I'll
people love to do that. I have all these memories, therefore I must have had a life. You can have all those memories that never have had a life, by the way. And he's absolutely right, Jim. There's no power in memory whatsoever. Where is power?
Right now.
Yes, only in the present.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, it's the only power there is. And that's what you have to remember. People that are sick stay sick because they go to their memory. You see. They go to their memory and remember, oh, I was sick yesterday, I must be sick again today. Instead of saying, oh, I'm not going to do that to myself. You know when you're sick what to remember?
When you were well. Perfect, right?
You're whole, complete, and perfect, and remember how you felt when you were well.
Right.
Instead of sitting saying, oh, this is how I'm feeling this. No. If you want to use your memory, you use it that way. And remember, oh, how did I feel? Remember, why do we say that? Feelings are the life of the organism. Feeling is what makes everything happen to you. When you get that feeling, you make the demonstration. You see?
Well, then, so can you expand on that? Because, like, okay, feeling, go when you don't feel well, you go to the feeling of when you did feel well.
Yes.
So take that to the money aspect.
Yes.
And go to the feeling you have when we're depositing.
Yes.
So can you expand on, because it seems like the money is the challenge, and I know the issue isn't money,
right.
But sometimes the fact of the matter is there's a money thing happening.
Yes. The money thing happens because of what?
Lack of belief.
Yes, which is fear.
Fear, okay.
Lack of belief is just fear. So you fear that your money is going to run out, and you feel, I made this money and I have to save it, or whatever you're doing with it. But the idea is to remember, how does it feel to have money? You say, remember my friend who said, I've been rich and I've been poor, and I like rich better, because rich feels better, and you have to feel good about it. And weeks ago, I gave you the thing about I feel successful, and to get the feeling of what it feels like to be successful, keep the feeling, and success will follow that. When you, with the money issue, because the world places so much emphasis on money and the scarcity always of money, there's a scarcity of money. Fear sets in, you see. So you have to go back, oh, how did I feel when I had money? How was it? Oh, and I felt so good about it, you know. Remember when I said I touch my money, I smell my money, I sleep beside money, and Jim puts money here, there, and everywhere? We have to do all that. We have to do that. Okay. And then you get that feeling, oh, well, money is here, you see. And, but you have to do that for yourself. I have a friend who I know has over $600,000 and doesn't feel wealthy.
What?
I'm sitting in a bank.
Does she want to call me?
Pardon? She want a condo?
Does she want to call me?
Yes, and invest that money somewhere. But if that, but you see, it has to be the feeling always. That's why we say money is not the issue.
Right, because it doesn't matter if it's $60 or $600,000.
No.
If you don't think it's enough, it's not enough.
It's not enough. The same way we think, oh, once I have money, I will be worthy,
and
deserving, totally level one, I matter.
Point, right.
And it doesn't do that. And so many people...
Cart before the horse.
Yes, so many people wait. They say, oh, as soon as I have money, I'll feel good about myself. You won't feel good about yourself.
No. No. And you won't keep the money.
And you won't keep the money either, yes.
So, like, during my process in the last few days, I wasn't so worried about the money. Yes, I worked hard and I spent money on this listing. I was more upset about how the process went.
Yes.
And how at one point I had to give up believing that the right thing was going to be done. And that I, right thing meaning the process was going to be with some integrity.
Yes.
That's the part that threw me for a loop. Not so much about, oh my God, I'm not going to get the money. That really sort of didn't really enter my mind. It's more like, oh my gosh, my integrity is on the line, my credibility. And I was, through the transaction, thought of very, very honest and forthright. So I'm thinking, okay, so if I created all this, and I thought I was doing something right, how do I resolve the energy about being frustrated about the other people involved?
Right.
I didn't know how, and that's why I called Reba, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with the energy, because I'm still pissed off that they can't just tell the truth.
Right.
And I'm going to blow this deal because I'm sending negative energy towards it. So it was so difficult for me.
Yeah. It's always difficult because you were expecting something and you had a scenario in your head of how it should have looked. And it wasn't looking the way you thought it was going to look. But when you're in the real estate business, you better give up the idea that you have any control whatsoever, especially when you're working with an escrow company and the closing and the funding and so forth, because it's completely out of your control. All you have to know is it's going to fund, and hold that thought in your mind. And with the integrity, give that up. Most of the people don't have any integrity, and that doesn't matter in the least. Do you have integrity? And you keep your integrity. And they can't take your integrity because their line is that they can't take it away from you. You have that. You just say, well, I know what I'm doing. They're crazy. It's crazy making. It's not going right. But every escrow company works differently, do they not? Some will do it in the 30 days. Some just lack. Some do you go to the closing table and don't even have the right stuff done.
Oh, yeah. Well, the escrow company wasn't the issue. It was more the buyer and the agent.
Yes.
Just not being able to just be straightforward.
Yes, but you're going to run into that all the time, too, in the real estate business.
And I guess the fact that I surrendered thinking, oh, you know what, we'll put this deal together because I know you. This will work. Well, that doesn't matter, obviously.
It doesn't matter. So now you learned a great deal. You learned a lesson from that.
But then you have to remember, it did work.
Yes.
It just didn't work the way you wanted it.
No, it didn't. But it put me in a position of being not protecting my own client. And that to me is more important for me than it doing it. It put me in a position where I could have been in trouble.
Yes, but you weren't.
No. Except for I didn't get myself in trouble because I was out of integrity and I didn't do my job.
Right.
Somebody else was like saying, oh yeah, I'll get it to you, and I believed that they would.
Right. So that's out of your hands. All you
right.
have to do is sit and know that your integrity, that you're sitting in your own integrity.
Right.
And no one can take that from you but you. And no one can put you in a position but you.
Right.
So you have to know that about yourself. I did all the things. I did it correctly. I did everything I was supposed to. And I am protecting my client. And then you let that go, but you don't get yourself all beside yourself. And let those people know. We don't make that moral judgment on them, you know. Just keep your own self and you see it worked.
So that's the difficulty, is the
yes.
being with it part and not knowing.
Yes.
We want to know.
It's keeping the ego out.
Right.
Yeah, we want to know the results.
Right.
Because we lose control.
Right.
And since we're now we're not in control, we feel, ooh, everything is gone, you see. Because our minds, everybody likes to control things, whether they say they're not. We're all control freaks.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I'm not sure how much we can actually control.
We can't control.
We can only control our own behavior. That's
right. That's all we can control. So you have to sit and
yeah.
know that you were did everything right.
Yeah.
You see, and did you say to yourself, "I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter."
Yeah, in tons. I mean, a lot of people did. I was up and down. In the middle, I'd be all good, and then I'd be like, I'd think I'd have the mindset, then I'd be like.
Yes.
You know, it was hard. It was like coming back to book center.
But now you've seen
time.
That, so that's a wonderful lesson. So you don't
yeah.
have to put yourself through that again. So you learn from that. Remember when you ran into the lady?
Yeah.
And I paid her right. Yeah.
And you went right in and everything was all right because you told the truth. The faster you tell the truth, the faster you get what you want.
Right.
So you have to pat yourself on the back because you're growing leaps and bounds.
What I keep reminding her of.
Yes.
That you remind us is that we have to appreciate us.
Yes.
We have to, when we make strides or we become the observer and we can step out of it, we have to acknowledge ourselves.
Yes. You have to congratulate yourself. Remember that affirmation, I congratulate myself often?
Yes, and I'll do this.
Yes, and pat yourself on the back. You have to do that for yourself. So you've done marvels, and you should say, oh, I'm just delighted this all happened because I've learned and I've stretched my consciousness from it. Mm-hmm. And
I have, actually.
And now you realize, and you say, I've learned all I can from that situation. I do not have to repeat that situation. Yeah. That does not have to come into my life again. Thank you very much for showing me this.
Okay.
You say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, and so then I went
next.
I went into the office to find out how I can get a commission increase and what the next level was, and it was only $5,000, and I'm like, $5,000 is it to get to the next level? I have to go manifest that.
Yes.
Because I was like, I got to close one more deal before the end of the year because, you know.
Yes, and you can, yeah, see.
But it was like that flip-flop of emotion. It's like, it's like I'm grateful, and then I'm like, okay, I got to go make one more deal before, so I can move up my commission structure, right. You know.
So now, the other thing that you learned is feelings are the life of the organism. You went through tons of feelings.
Yeah, I did.
So what are we learning in this class? We're learning to think the thoughts we want to think and to feel the feelings that we want to feel. So that's what your next step is, so that you feel good about yourself all the time. And that's all that stuff going
right.
on. But you stay in your own.
Right.
So you're learning. It's wonderful. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Another question? Yes, Joe.
I don't know if this is a question or just what it is. Okay, I'll just say it. 2 weeks ago, I have separate keys for my car and for my house. And 2 weeks ago, I was walking my dog. I lost my keys. I think I threw them away with the poop. But anyhow, then Monday night, I lost my key to my car. And I had everything planned. And I was going crazy, if you know what I mean, looking and looking and looking and going through everywhere it could have been. And I ended up borrowing my neighbor's key. I also called my sister, called a cousin of mine to pray for me to help me find the keys. Anyhow, this morning at 2:30 in the morning, I found the keys in the briefcase that I had looked through at least 6 times, I know, and taken it out, thrown it out at least probably twice. And it's kind of bothered me that I'm scattered, if that makes any sense.
First of all, you're not scattered. First of all, you have to pat yourself on the back and realize how creative you are because you said, my keys are lost. And remember, and you know this one, because you repeat it back to me. You see with your mind, not your eyes. So when you said your keys were lost, of course they were lost. And you could look through that briefcase many, many times. And as long as you thought they were lost, they were lost. Now, the reason why you're losing things is because you're living in a consciousness of loss. You lost your job. And that, you lost it. The lawsuit. You've lost this. You've lost. So you put yourself in a consciousness of loss. So, yes, your keys and little things like that, you'll start to do. Many people who go on diets get into a consciousness of they want to lose weight. But in the meantime, they lose their wallet, they lose this, they lose that, they lose all this other stuff because you put yourself in a consciousness of loss, you see. So we never try to use the word...
Shit.
Yes.
Shit.
Release. I am releasing this from my life. Not losing.
Yeah.
The word, to try to get rid of the word loss in the thing.
Wow.
Now, when you do that, as soon as you look around, you have to realize that nothing can be lost in the universe because God knows where everything is. And what is yours by right of consciousness has to come back to you. Now, you get out of that when you started to call people to ask them to pray for you. Let me see.
You got out of...
Well, when it didn't show up, I said, I called my sister and said, is there anyone else you can pray for? And she didn't think it was funny. It wasn't...
But this happens all the time with people because you absolutely have to... And it's a very... One of those things that's hard to believe that you see with your mind. Because you absolutely think you see with your eyes. And you do not see with your eyes.
Well, that's interesting, because when I have misplaced something or whatever, there's a feeling I get where, okay, it's not misplaced. Yeah. I mean, I just can't see it right now.
Right.
But then I remember you say, nothing is lost. So I'm like, okay, nothing's lost. So I'm immediately, and then you go calm down, and then it appears.
Yes.
However it appears.
Because you've changed your thinking. You changed your consciousness, and now it appears. Mm-hmm. And we've all had that in our life.
Is that why when you say the St. Anthony prayer,
yes,
it takes your mind off of it?
Yes, it takes your mind off of it. You know the St. Anthony?
That's great.
Dear St. Anthony, dear St. Anthony, something's lost. Dear St. Anthony, please come around. Something's lost and can't be found.
It's very important. I find it.
Please
help me find it now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's why we did St. Anthony for my house.
Yes. Right. Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense.
I was losing my place to live in.
I mean, okay, how do I get out of that lost consciousness because I have, those things have happened, you know?
Yeah. Release instead of...
Well, you have to love, bless, and release those and know to don't go back in your memory.
Oh.
You see, that's your memory bringing up loss. So from this point forward, no loss in your life.
You didn't lose your job, you just released it.
You released it.
And make way for something better.
And you have to look at that again and pat yourself on the back that you thought enough of yourself, that you were worthy, deserving, totally level one, that you matter, and you quit that job. That job was absolutely killing you. But they were very nasty to you. And it wasn't a good environment. So
you worked all the time.
And you worked all the time, and there you are in this environment. You cannot do that to yourselves, people, and then sit and think that you love yourself.
Right.
You loved yourself when you quit the job. That was a point right there. So now remind yourself of that and know that a better job is on its way to you right here and right now. And don't go to race mind or to your sister's mind and say, oh, John, that's all for you. You should have stuck with that job. You'll never get another job. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever's going on, you see? You can't. You don't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
We look at things differently from metaphysics. And the way we look at it, you had to get rid of that job. It was killing you. And you thought enough of yourself to quit. So, now you must realize that you're worthy, deserving, totally level one, you matter. If you didn't know those things, you would have stayed with that job that killed you. Because you said, oh, why do I matter? Might as well go in and do this job. So, sit and love yourself. Anytime you sit and love yourself right out of any situation that you're in. And when you were doing your thing, take a moment, always just sit and love yourself. You're saying, and calm yourself down. I love myself.
Yeah, this morning when I didn't know what was going to happen today exactly, and I was like wrapping my mind around, I'm just like, you're worthy, you're deserving, and you just get on with your day and stop thinking about what not.
Right. Right. The whole idea in life is to keep on trucking, people.
Yeah.
You're going to have all this stuff.
Yeah.
You're just, you know, as many times you're knocked down, who wins? The one who keeps getting up.
Right.
You know, you just have to keep getting up, and things are going to happen to us. We just have to keep getting up from it.
Right.
You know, and studying metaphysics will not keep you from falling. But it'll teach you how to get up faster. Remember? Mm-hmm. Teaches you that. Does anyone remember a long time ago I read that five, it's called some My Life in Five Chapters or something like that?
Oh, with Falling Down the Hole.
Falling Down the Hole, remember?
Oh, yeah, yes. Right.
Same thing, you kept falling in, and finally the last chapter is, I took another street.
Right.
Well, but most people don't, they just keep falling in the damn hole.
Right.
And as he said, he could get out faster now, and he understood why, and this and everything, but he fell in the damn hole anyway.
Yeah.
As soon as you take another street, the hole's not there.
Right.
Good. get it?
Yes.
You have to take another. That means change your mind about the whole thing.
Right. Right.
Remember that whole thing in the Bible? Turn the other cheek, and people think it means somebody slaps you here, that you let them slap the other cheek. Turn the other cheek means look in another direction. Mm-hmm. You're looking in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And most people think it's forgiveness, right?
Oh, I know.
That's exactly what most people think, because I thought that until you told me differently.
Yes, well, I tell a lot of things differently. But here again, what is the biggest thing that we have to do?
Love ourselves.
Forgive.
Right.
You always have to forgive before you can love. But people say love and forgive. It should be forgive and love.
Yeah.
You cannot love before you forgive. And you cannot love yourself till you forgive yourself for everything. And stop going back in memory. And here we'll talk a bit about memory and how it gets into trouble. You are punishing most of us. We're punishing something that happened when we were, say, 20 years old, we did something. We're still punishing ourselves for that. That 20-year-old person no longer exists. You're punishing something that no longer exists. That person is not there anymore. That person is not there anymore. You have to know that. So you have to forgive yourself. And when you go back and look at that, you have to say, I did the very best I knew how to do with the knowledge I had at the time. If I know what I know now, I wouldn't have done it that way. But I didn't know what I know now. You see? And then you forgive yourself. And then you start to love yourself. But everyone wants to start with love. Everyone wants to start with love. And it's not going to work till you learn to forgive yourself. You know, people want to put that coating on. They want them. You know, and that's the trouble. You can't put coats on. You have to take it all down to that forgiveness. And then you start to love. It's incredible. People live together all the time. How many, the expression, I will forgive, but I won't forget. Mm-hmm. Well, that gets you nowhere.
Right.
You see? You have to totally forgive those things. You see? And another idea for you when you were going through all that, the thing is, they did not do that to you, you see. You took it personally that they were doing it to you. They'd have done that to anybody. You see, and as soon as you realize that they've done it to anybody, you see, now it has nothing to do with your integrity whatsoever.
Right.
That's the way those people are. Yes, I say that's the way those people are. But you'll eventually learn, you know, it's the thing. You knew it was a snake when you picked it up. So if it bites you, it's your fault. You knew it was a snake when you picked it up.
Well, I know.
Pardon? You know now, don't you?
Well, I know the operation. I mean, when I said something about it, they said, you would have done the same thing. I said, you're absolutely wrong about me.
Yes, well, that's good.
I mean,
saying yes.
No, I wouldn't.
All right. So, but don't take it personally. You did, but you did it right. Stay in your own life and knock it out. Okay. Question over there, young lady.
Well, I was just when you said forgiveness. Of course, I got out the little law of the book, which is Working with the Law, Dallas's book, and the. I told you the chapter on forgiveness is lengthy.
Oh, well, yes, because it's very important.
And I love to read your yellowed out, highlighted areas. Forgiveness is the first requirement which permits man to be in harmony with the law of his being.
Yes. Yeah. So you can't. If you can't forgive yourself, what are you saying? I hate myself.
Right. Well, you're saying you're not worthy, you're not deserving, and you're not lovable.
Absolutely.
And you don't matter.
And you don't matter.
Not enough.
Yeah. So it has to start right there. And here again, you are the only person that can do that. I cannot do that. No church can do that.
Yeah.
And God cannot do that. God is not in the forgiving business. Because God has never condemned any of us. So God cannot forgive us. God is in the loving business.
Nothing to forgive.
You see? And that's what we have to really look at. But it has to always start with us people. always, what are we thinking about ourselves? And how much do we like ourselves?
I was telling Reva that I experienced about not enoughness. And I had moved a bunch of boxes from my parents' home to my residence. And I was going through them and looking at stuff and pictures, old pictures. And I'm like, damn, I used to be cute. I'm thinking, you know, wow, what happened here? It's hysterical. And then I'm like, wow, I got old. And what? Then it dawns on me that it didn't matter what I looked like then. I wasn't enough then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm more enough now than I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the best news.
You were a lot of women.
Yes. So, you know. But it was going back and go, oh, God, I look damn good then. And then I'm thinking, but I realized that didn't matter. Because that I didn't feel like, oh, I was enough then. And I feel much more loved by myself than ever.
Yes.
You know?
And that's what it's all about, is learning to love yourself.
Well, last week when you and I were working, and I said, you said, well, my dear, this is the dark night of the soul. And I said, but I thought I'd been through that. You go, oh, no, this is it. And I was telling you, and I said to Jules, you know, you get to a certain age and you think, okay, I don't have to have those anymore. And the truth is we don't have to. But it's probably a bigger truth that, like you said just earlier, that because we have the teaching doesn't mean we don't have challenges.
Yes.
And what was interesting is that the whole thing that was going on is I was waking up in the middle of the night with that gripping fear, the feeling. I mean, just, and it wasn't about anything in particular, but it became about nothing was enough. I didn't have enough money. I was never going to work again. And I just had to be with it. And I knew not what the outcome was, other than that I had to create and manifest feeling good and getting relief before I could move on.
So with anything, with what you're going through, what you went through, with what you're all going through, when those problems come up, when all those situations come up, you have to sit down and say, oh, this opportunity is in front of me. And this opportunity is in front of me so that I can learn to love myself more.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at it as an opportunity, not a problem. There's no such thing as problems.
Otherwise, you just...
There's just opportunities. Oh, you look at it, oh, this is an opportunity for me to learn something about myself. And you learned a great deal about yourself during that. So we're always learning. But we're learning to love ourselves more and more.
No, well, okay. I'm working all that as you well know. Okay. But when you have... The Course in Miracles also talks a lot about forgiveness a lot, you know, in that and stuff. And so, but I've been, the workbook, I get, it's kind of, you know, where everything means everything and everything means nothing. And I've been kind of working on that concept. Like, I had the audition this week and it means nothing, but it means everything, you know. And when it means everything, it just tears me up. And when it means nothing, I kind of just give up. Does that make sense, or am I...
Well, it does make sense. But when you're like going to auditions and so forth, you put all the weight on because of your financial situation instead of going to those auditions just to have fun and enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So all go out just to have fun and enjoy yourself. And then you don't put that on. But the Course in Miracles is absolutely right what they say. And I think one of the first lessons in the book is nothing in this room means anything.
Yeah.
Nothing in this room means anything. But everything in this room means something. It's one of those little mind things. You have to work on that. Some of the things, those little things, you have to work on a long time to your mind to, oh, now I see what that means.
Well, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, it would. That doesn't surprise me.
That makes sense to you, too.
But you know it doesn't. You know, that these things don't mean anything. Nothing means anything.
Oh. Well, that's the whole form thing. It's empty and meaningless.
Right.
It's all empty and meaningless.
It only means what it means to you.
Yeah.
And that's fluid.
Right.
Yeah. It changes.
Absolutely.
And it's interpreted by yourself.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that's one of the ways when I was talking earlier about your brain and growing your brain and learning to use your brain more. Don't have viewpoints or be able to change your viewpoints very quickly. Mm-hmm. When you can change your viewpoints very quickly, your mind immediately stretches itself. But people stay with the same viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. I'm stimulated by something you said about, I'll paraphrase it, like a night panic thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I rarely get those anymore. I used to get them as a child, and I want to get this out. It's going to take a bit to construct it, but the chain of thinking here gets me to the relationship with God. And the reason we want to anthropomorphize God is that when I was 3 or 4 years old and I'd wake up in the middle of the night, I could go to my parents' room and I could crawl in bed between my parents and I felt safe.
Mm-hmm.
And we anthropomorphize God because we want to have that relationship with God. We want to just feel safe. Now, without anthropomorphizing God, how do we get that intimacy, that relationship with mm-hmm. God, so that at all times I have that feeling that I had?
That safety.
That safety.
Because it's about the feeling.
Mm-hmm. So when it's about the feeling, so you have to go back and, yes, we like to make God human. Then it's all right to make God human. But you have to know that God is much more than that also. And you have to know that God is you. And you are God. All that I am is God. But I am not all that God is. And you have to stretch that. These, remember when I... Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. Now that I'm an adult, I think differently. So you have to get a different idea of God. But if you want to stay with that, and if you get into a panic mood and so forth, and it calms you to get in bed with God or your parents, do it. Do it. But the whole thing is, see, we have to realize that all we are is God, but we are not all that God is. And that power is in, as, and through us all the time. And that we can create what we want. And we can stop these panic attacks, but you have to talk to your mind. Mm-hmm. You have to say, stop doing this to me. How dare you do this to me? You see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it wants to browbeat you. You know, it'll pick you up and throw you around the room.
Would it be, is this like, if you... get to that point where you really truly believe that you are worthy, deserving, lovable, and that you really are all that you are is God, but you're not all that God is. And so you really believe, first of all, you forgive yourself and you love yourself, then all of a sudden you have that peace because you're one with God.
Yes.
And it should be an internal thing that you have because God is you.
Yes.
God is in you. That, you know, you are part of this whole being.
Yes.
You know, and so, okay.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to internalize it. And if you're doing it with the thinking, then think, I'm going to move my thinking up a notch, a level up higher to where I'm thinking God thoughts after it. And what do I know about God? Peace.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, that's why you remember years ago during the First World War, a woman stood up at one of the metaphysical conventions and said there is no war in the mind of God. Of course, it appalled people. But there's no war in the mind of God. That's why we can, you see, we have to remember that. You know, it's always peaceful out there. There's nothing but peace out there. But we concentrate on all these conflicts and so forth. So we think conflict. You have to think peace all the time. You have to think peace all the time. You have to know that everything is going to come out in the wash. that God is always for you, that this universe supports you, that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. And that's where you find your confidence. When you have those late night things where your money is running out and all that, you have to say, ha, but it's not so. And I realize that I'm moving from my good to my greater good. And if what I have right now in the bank completely disappears, there is more to take its place. There is more to take its place. Otherwise, you let yourself, you get into a consciousness of loss, you'll get into a consciousness of scarcity.
Yeah.
And if you get into a consciousness of scarcity, you can't be thinking abundant thoughts.
Because you can't think two things at the same
time. You cannot think two things at the same time. A house divided against itself will fall.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to say, oh no, I'm right back to the abundance. Earlier tonight, we were talking about food and stuff, and I love to keep food in my house because when I open up my refrigerator, I go, ooh, abundance and prosperity, thank you very much. And I love it to go out at nighttime in the kitchen without the light, and I open up the refrigerator, and it's just the refrigerator light, and all that food pops up in my house. Thank you very much. This is abundance and prosperity. You see?
You're so funny.
Oh,
so when you say, you say I'm worthy, deserving. I mean, you say that.
Yes.
What do you? Sometimes that doesn't work. You just say it till it does work. Then.
You say it till it does work, and you have to convince yourself. Remember, we're always convincing ourselves. We're the ones who have to convince ourselves, not let our mind convince us of something.
Argue with our mind,
yes,
and always win.
Yes.
You must win every time. So you do all. I do all these little silly things for myself. You see, as soon as I open my door, I look at my place and say, thank you very much. I love living here. I never go to bed without looking at my living room and saying, oh, you know, thank you. Thank you for letting me have this.
Mm.
No, you have to do that. It keeps it going. Otherwise, your mind, oh, you don't do anything. Yes, because you have to think the thoughts that you want to think. So you have to set that up. So what am I thinking when I come in? Ha-ha, gratitude. I love this place. Oh, and I can get thrilled with it, you know, with doing that kind of thing. Now, isn't that better for me to set up all that stuff and then to say nothing and let my mind go, oh, God, Dallas, you're going down the tubes. This is what's happening.
Absolutely.
See? Learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. And if you have to prime the pump, I call it, then I prime the pump. I start out with, aha, I love this place. Instead of going, oh, I don't like this place, and this is going wrong, and that's going wrong. Start, and then it goes downhill. Start to bring it up, to bring yourself up all the time. We have to do that. We have to train ourselves to do that. See? And you could always find something. Raymond Charles Barker, the minister in New York at Alice Tooley Hall, he used to consulting and so forth. People would come in and they would say, oh, there's nothing, they have nothing to be thankful for, nothing is right in their life, nothing is right about them, nothing, they had nothing they could, nothing. And he would say, look at your little fingernail, your baby fingernail. Do you like your baby fingernail? Can you start there? And just like that? You have to start someplace. And it only takes a crack to do it. But if you sit and hate everything, you're going to sit and hate everything. Once you say, oh, I like my fingernail. Oh, my goodness, look, that finger's not so bad. Well, look, the one beside it's pretty good, too. Boop, my whole hand looks nice.
Well, what I started getting into and telling my mind and talking to it, saying, no, this isn't going to do anybody any good, including you, so let's not continue with this. And then I'd get a visual of, like, my money funneling away. And I'd say, oh, no. And just, you know, it's like a three-year-old. And what helped me really get relief, too, was when he said, to you, we have to start where we are.
Yeah.
Instead of bashing ourselves for not being somewhere else.
Right.
Because if you're where you are, you're where you are. And if we don't start there with forgiving, loving, I'm worthy, and all the stuff, it just sucks.
Yes. Now I'm going to help you with something for a visual.
Okay.
You used the word funnel away.
Yes.
I want you to see a funnel.
Yes.
And I want you to see your money. And I want you to see it going out, just funneling down. You can see that, right?
I can.
All right. What? There's a source up here that keeps
feeding it.
See, you forgot the feeding part.
The circulating part.
You forgot that. See, you're only concentrating on it funneling out. You have
losing.
That it's coming back, you see. You have to see.
Or at least envision it funneling into a jar.
Yes.
Plus, look at the shape of the funnel. There's more at the top than there's it coming out of the bottom.
So you have
that's
to see
good.
It. See, you have to see it coming.
But got it. Okay.
See, she had a wonderful visual. And the mind can give you a wonderful visual for disaster.
Didn't complete it, though.
But you didn't complete it, you see. So is it funnel? You have to, oh, see? There it is, funneling right back. So when your mind does that, you have to sit down and visualize that instead. Oh, no. Now where is that coming from, that supply?
God is my source of supply.
It's always going to be raining down on you. Always going to be
and the
down.
Funnel, I can be like that, yes. You know, air machine. Right. Circulating. Money is always freely circulating. Yes. There's always a divine right. Surplus.
And when we're always stretching our consciousness, we're stretching our prosperity consciousness. And money is always out there. Abundance and prosperity is always out there. And so you look at it as a well. And there's the well, and it contains all this, and it's a well that will never run dry. But people think, well, it's going to run dry, so I'm only going to take a thimbleful. And they only go to the well with a thimble.
Right.
You have to go to the well with a great big truck with a suction thing that keeps sucking all that water out into the tanker. And then you just keep replacing that.
That's a good visual. Well, then you can have the spigot on the bottom of the tanker. You can be using
yes,
it and it just keeps going.
You can
be
using it and doing things. You see, most people, oh, it's going to, you know, going to run down. When I was a child, we had a pump in our well.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, in the summertime, would say to my brother, Jack, stop washing the car. That well is going to run dry. One day, Jack said, oh, stop it, Dad. You've been saying that for 30 years and it hasn't run dry yet. And it's still, that's 60 years ago, and that same well is still working.
Whoa.
And it never had to dig deeper or find more water.
Right.
So, you see, we do that to ourselves. We place all limits that we put on ourselves. And we put them on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we do it with lack of thinking. We get into the lack thing. All right,
yeah.
Let me see if I can help you visually. When we start to think, we think on a plane here, and we'll call this plane the race mind plane. Oh, it's funneling out. And we stay here instead of realizing, oh, I can move up. Oh, my goodness, look, it's funneling in.
Right.
But we go to the funnel out. Right. Why don't we go to the funnel in? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, but we stay here because we get stuck in this race mind thing. Oh, and we hear that all the time.
Yeah.
Just say to yourself, oh, I'm not living there. That is not my universe. I am moving up to where things are funneling in, not funneling out. You see, in this universe, and in this thing that we call God, you're always going to have that dichotomy. On this plane of action, you have a dichotomy. You have to decide which one you want to live in. Do you want to live in the funnel out, or do you want to live in the funnel in?
Funnel in.
All right.
You have everything, money, love, time.
Yes, everything will funnel into
health.
Yes.
Everything.
Yes. And what else do people do about the funneling out? My energy is draining. Mm-hmm. This is going, I'm getting old. This is going.
Instead of realizing it keeps coming in.
It keeps coming in.
Energy.
The energy keeps coming in. How the hell do you think we stand up and do stuff? By cosmic energy, mm-hmm. which comes in through the top of your head.
Which money is and energy.
Yes, it's energy. So we have to learn to move up in consciousness and see the other side of the coin. You only look at one side. You only look at one side.
We did.
I remember what did Winston Churchill say? Life is a whole. You can't separate the parts. You can't separate the parts.
So I just left the funnel in the clouds.
Yes. So, but you never even thought there was a funnel in. You only ever thought a funnel out.
Yeah.
But now you know there's a funnel in.
Spiraling down.
Yes.
And out.
Yes.
So I wasn't even going to go get groceries.
Right. See? See? It has to funnel.
Really?
Yes.
Really? We're not going to eat? Really?
Right.
I just had a whole conversation with my mind. Really?
Yeah.
If I'm talking to you. So now you're going to be a hoarder? Okay. That's going to work.
So, funnel in, funnel out, funnel in, funnel out.
Circulation.
Which is what? Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. And you always have a divine surplus. You see? So that's what you have to remember. Remember the people who say, I don't have any money, and I say, look in your couch, you'll probably find some. Yeah, you'll find money someplace. You can always find money someplace. You found $500? We'll see that. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, how fabulous is that?
Wow.
That's great.
It's out there.
I forgot about it.
It's like his keys.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it was there.
All right, I have some affirmation. Here they are. I live in an abundant universe. You're seeing, as soon as you go into scarcity and start doing that, you say to yourself, huh, this is not an abundant universe I'm living in. And you have to notice the abundant universe, and that you can see. You can see abundance everywhere you look. I was in Whole Foods the year. I never saw so much food in my entire life. And I said to myself, look at this. All this food, but this is only one grocery store. Mm-hmm. Where did they get all this for all this food?
That's true.
Now that's how my mind works when I go to someplace. I don't think, oh, that's awful or anything. I said, look at the abundance.
Yeah. I happened to see a show, and it was on Discovery or something, and they were talking about the space telescope and how they pinpointed a tiny spot way out, and then as they exposed the camera, it just was filled with galaxies.
Yeah.
And beyond. I mean, it's like there's no end. You know? And that's the thing that is. So we do live in an abundant universe.
We live in an abundant universe, and in religion, in the Bibles, and I think in most sacred writings, they start with there is no beginning, there is no end. And we keep thinking that we'll see to the end of space, and we will never see to the end of space. Right. Because we keep it. When I went to school, they may have known three or four extra galaxies.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now there are millions they discovered. And with the Hubble telescope, they discover something new, another galaxy, another thing, another one. So you have to remember that you live in an abundant universe. Do that. Remember when I'm at the stoplight and I see all the cars, I don't say, oh, all these cars. I say, look at the abundance. Everyone has a car. Isn't that wonderful that everyone can have a car? I'm glad there are all these cars around. Supermarkets, look at all that food. And you go, oh, look at all this food. And this is only one supermarket. And that was the new one in Pasadena that I went to. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I never saw so much food in
Did
my life.
Did you get a massage while you were there?
Oh, no, you can get everything.
Yes,
yeah. You could live in that store. But then then you have to say, well, this is happening all over the United States, if not all over the world. And you can go to the thing. Well, look, some countries don't have it. But if you keep knowing that it's going to be all over the world, it will be all over the world. You're saying? And it has to be abundant. And there's no way people can eat all that food, by the way. We have more food than we can eat. And people say, oh, how can people are starving? There's more food on this planet. And there's more people all the time. And every time there's more people, there's more food.
Right.
It's all about distribution.
It's always distribution that does it.
So money.
Yes. It's always the distribution that's doing it. I always have everything I need.
Mm-hmm.
And you always have everything you need.
Yes.
You see? But your mind tells you you want something else. You know, we want a lot of things, but we need very little.
Right.
I learned that from my Aunt Catherine, you know. She said once, when I was in college, she sent me a dollar in an envelope with a note. And she said, believe it or not, this is all that I have. But you're more than welcome to it because you know I want for nothing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right.
And that's what you have to want for nothing. Your needs are met. Mm-hmm. Your needs are met. So don't let your mind play that little trick on you. Mm-hmm. Say, my needs are met. And your wants will come. But you don't. We don't live on wants. We live on our needs are met. My thoughts are always loving and positive. Loving and positive. Now, you know that positive, I know you know, means positive thinking about yourself. Most people think, oh, loving thoughts, I have to send loving thoughts out to anybody else. This absolutely means, people, love yourself. My thoughts are loving towards me. My thoughts are loving towards me. Don't scold yourself. Love yourself. See? And when your mind starts, or your mind starts, sit down and say, no, I love myself too much for this to go on. You see? All right. My dreams come true. My dreams come true. Never give up dreaming and dream the biggest dreams you can dream. If you dream the biggest dreams you can dream, you have more of a chance for them to come true, because the mind can work on something big and get excited about it. The mind does not get excited about small things, people. And most people only think small things. Mm-hmm. You have to think of something big, you see. And then you get behind it. This country got behind sending a man to the moon because that was a big, marvelous idea and everyone got excited about it. We would say we're sending somebody to St. Louis. Do you think anyone would have gotten behind that project? No, because it's not big enough. So if you have you have to think big. And far-fetched.
Which is why I went to Vegas, even though the audition didn't really matter to me. I knew that, because I almost didn't go. I thought, it's a long trip. But I thought, no, if I don't go, I won't have auditioned, and I'll feel terrible about that.
Right.
And if I go and I do a bad audition, I won't feel as bad as if I didn't go at all.
Almost every time, if your mind says don't do something, you better do it.
Yes.
Because your mind is trying to keep you from learning something that you need.
Say a lot of things my mind says not to. Yeah.
Yeah. The night Jim was on his way here and his mind was like,
right. I had a client call me and she said, I had an interview down. Somebody called me for a job interview and I didn't want to go do it. And I said, oh, I don't want to do that. But she said, then I said to the person on the phone, okay, I'll do it because I'll get the job. And the person said, well, how do you know you're going to get the job? She said, because I don't want to go for it. And I know that I'll get the job.
Now, why does it work like that?
And she went and got the job.
Well,
something else better will come along because you're always being divinely guided. You're always being divinely guided. You have to remember that.
Because I get scared when I go to the audition, I really want it. And then I'm thinking, God, you know.
Say to yourself, I'm always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. And then go do your audition and have fun and forget about the money and all that stuff. Because if you're thinking about the money and stuff, you're not going to give the best performance. You're not going to give your best audition. When you go just to have fun, and actors, that's what you go, the part of acting is the auditions. And you have to audition for something to get it. So you have to learn
not to be nervous.
So you have to learn to have fun with it.
And you're way attached. Yeah. Way attached. Yeah.
So
you mean to the outcome, right?
Yeah. But what you also say, I am a success. And then you feel that. And you remain a success. Once you walk into any interview with the idea that you're already a success, you will get the job. It's a person that walks in and doesn't know that they're a success and thinks a job is going to make them the success. Is not going to get the job.
Right.
The energy you put out.
It's the energy that you put out. So the life of the organism is feelings. You see? So learn to feel, but learn to feel what you want to feel. Not just let it come randomly to you. And learn to think the thoughts that you want to think, and your life will change. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein is the lesson.
You know that woman that used to be in our class on Mondays that ran into the cube? I've had the car problem with $500.